morning, Blog Talk family and Running for Christ Ministries. It's Saturday, and it's time for school. And how appropriate that we open up this morning with a song that fits to the one who sits on the throne. That's what we have been studying. That's what we will be studying in the book of Mark as we go deeper into not just knowing what we believe, but why we believe. Why we believe that Jesus is King, and why the gospel is good news, the euangelion, that Jesus is King, and how his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his ascension prove who he is. I can already tell I got class people in position. So let's open in prayer. Father, this morning we praise and thank you for Jesus. We thank you because he truly is the one who sits on the throne, not just of the hearts and the lives of people who believe in him, but of the world. We thank you and praise you because right now, even right now, from that throne, he is interceding and ruling. So, Lord, we just want to see clearly, understand, know, but more importantly, live as it, in the truth that we do have a King, and we worship and praise this King Jesus. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Good morning. Amen. Who I got out here with me today?
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Good to have you all. I can tell you right now, God is very pleased that you get up and you want to start your day in his word and it's with each other. So with that, we are studying in the book of Mark. Our key verse, we're in the New International Version, if you have it. If you don't, again, pull out your weapon of choice. Mark. And our key verse is the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The beginning of the euangelion, the good news. And last week we started off by understanding that kingdom represents an empire, a dynasty, or if you will, a new order, a new society, all those things, and this new social order, political order, spiritual order, all things are being reordered in the gospel, and that Jesus came not only to announce that it is here, but it is not just, it's here, and it will be here. It's the grand tension of the now and not yet in the Bible. So we looked at some questions last week in Mark chapter 1 about what it means to repent and to believe and how they turn from their old way and turn into a new way. But that belief is really based on the foundation of faith, the Greek word pistis, which means it's used for trustworthiness in a commander or toward So it's like people and how they trust their leader, their commander, if you're in a military situation, and it's a devotion to that person. And so when we believe, we say we believe in Jesus, we are saying that we trust in him, we trust in who he is and what he's done, what he is doing, and we remain devoted to him. If you look, especially throughout the whole Bible, that's really what it's being about, remaining trusting in God and remaining devoted to God. And we know that his son is Jesus. And so in trusting and remaining devoted to Jesus, we in fact are remaining trusting and devoting in God. It's our faith. All right. So we looked at his baptism and some things happened. I'm on question 4 on our sheets if you have it. What happened when Jesus came up from the water? Well, I take a sip.
Oh, he saw the heavens splitting, and he saw the doves, and hold on, I'm trying to find my paper.
Said a voice came from heaven.
Mm-hmm.
You are my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. This is Mother Irma.
All right. Thank you, Mom. So we have those three things, and Deacon? We have the heavens tore open. The way was open again. The Spirit descending like a dove. And last week we looked at the question that dove was a very political signal, because the Roman Empire was symbolized by the eagle, power and force and violent strength, where the dove was innocent, an animal associated with peace and sacrifice. And we looked at the scripture in Luke when Mary and Joseph presented little baby Jesus to the, took him to the temple on the eighth day, according to the law. And when he was set apart, dedicated to the Lord, because he was the firstborn, they offered dove as sacrifice, or pigeon, we don't know. So we know the dove and pigeons are closely related. So that was, and also that was not a, how we herald the eagle, and we, eagles are protected and valued. We don't herald and protect pigeons and doves as much. We don't even revere them, because the dove, even in that day, was one of the lowest forms of sacrifice. It was for the poor people. Mm-hmm. So here Jesus entered in this dove. So when the dove descends, we know that was the Holy Spirit, it like a dove descending on him, but it was a symbol that of how he was going to go about bringing the kingdom, not through power and strength, but through sacrifice. All right. And then we saw that the Spirit led him into the wilderness. And why did we say the Spirit led him into the wilderness?
Well, I remember saying that he was being able to find out if he was capable to sustain anything that came at him. You know, wait a minute. Am I saying that right? When he was, go ahead. Somebody else can answer, because I'm twisted right now.
Was it? I think Deacon Eric is trying to say for spiritual warfare.
Okay. So he was being tested, correct?
Indirectly, that's what I was saying, that would he be able to deal with whatever we going to be dealing with?
Well, we looked at the scripture in Hebrews.
Go ahead, Mother. A lot of temptations. Just as we do, so he had to be found to know that without sin.
All right. So he had, in other words, he was showing that, A, he was human, enduring these testings. Also, as Hebrews tells us, that he was tested in every way, just like we are. So he does, he identifies with us just as we are tempted, as she was saying, he was tempted. So he went through the same human trials. One of the things people don't realize is that other than a few things about the early life of Jesus, his birth, going to Egypt, his encounter at the temple when he was 12, we don't have a lot of information about him. But we can understand that he grew up normal. He wasn't, even though there was a movie that came out about it, he wasn't performing miracles, and he wasn't walking on water or doing all these great. He was growing up normal, just like everybody else in a family, doing chores, getting sick, getting hurt, you know, just like he was human. And if we don't see his humanity, we will never grasp the magnitude of his deity, that God became human. All right, we're going to keep going because I don't want to get too bogged down. All right, so Jesus came and he proclaimed, after John the Baptist, he proclaimed the good news, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, it's interchangeable, is here. Or some translations will say at hand. Well, that's just simply meaning it's right here. My phone is at hand. It's right here. My pen is at hand. It's right here. What was different? I'm on question 9 real quick. What was different about Jesus' teaching? There was a statement that was made, which can be found in Mark chapter 1, verses 21 and 22.
He taught with authority.
who taught with authority. And how do we define that?
He taught with the ability to teach it because it was his word.
So he taught, unlike the rabbis in that tradition at that time who taught basically commentary. They taught what they thought it meant.
What they believed,
Jesus,
right.
Yeah, they taught what they thought it meant, their opinion of what it meant, their discernment of what it meant. Jesus taught because he gave the words, so he knew the words. So to say he taught with authority means he's the author. So, and I gave you some examples. You can go back and look at when you read the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew. You have heard it said, but I say. He repeats that a lot because the Pharisees said a lot of things. You know, they said that you couldn't even lift a finger basically on the Sabbath day to do anything, nothing on the Sabbath day. And then Jesus comes back and says, so if you're telling me if your donkey falls into a hole, you're not going to go get it? So they had put a burden of following the law on the people that was not there because they were interpreting it. All right, let's pick up. I do believe we left off on question 10, which is Mark chapter 1. Somebody read verses 35 through 39.
Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. Is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. Amen.
Amen.
So I ask the question, why did Jesus come?
So he can spread the good news to all people. He had done so with the first group of people. He had to go on to another location and give them the good news as well.
Yeah, that's right. I appreciate the good news.
That's the answer, to preach the good news in more places, not just in his hometown, not just in his little village, but he's setting the example. This good news isn't just for this one group, and as we get later into the book of Mark, we'll find out that it does spread beyond even the Jews at one point with Jesus' ministry. So he was saying that, yes, he was here to preach this good news, the gospel, the euangelion. And I keep using that word because it helps us understand the richness of the word gospel. It is really about this victor, this king has come and instituted a new way of life for people. And that's good news because, again, we get our word evangel or evangelize from that word, which means to spread the good news. And it's good news is greater than just our sins are forgiven. It's good news is greater than that. That's our sin. That's a great part of it. That's an important part of it. But it's not the whole picture. All right. Thank you very much. Let's keep going. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Let's get into one of my, I love all these stories, but this is one of those ones I remember from childhood very vividly. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12.
I'm reading out of NIV. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, it made an opening in the roof above Jesus by getting through it and then lowering the mat the man was laying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of all of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Well, I'm going to 12.
You're in. That's it, verse 12. Thank you.
Yeah, that was it, 12, right, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
All right. So, again, like I said, I have vivid memories of my grandmother doing the flannel graph stories and Girls and Boys Bible with this picture of this man, this roof being torn off the house, and this man being lowered down into the middle. But the key question, because we're looking at the life of Jesus right now, and yes, he does perform a miracle here, but we want to look at this question. Why did he say, "Son, your sins are forgiven"?
My thought was he could see his heart and how he felt that he was truly a believer in what he has been told about God and Jesus. And I guess Jesus saw his heart and felt that he could heal him because he knew that he believed in him or believed in the Father. Yeah, I say, yeah, Mark, he was out doing Mark's time, yeah, that he believed in.
Now, I would push back a little bit, which is because we have healthy discussion. Whose faith actually was on display here?
The four
the
men?
The friends.
That's the four men, right?
Yeah, the four friends. Remember faith, peace. The Greek word pistis, being trustworthy and devoted. These people had the faith enough to believe that they could get their friend to Jesus, that he could heal them. All right. So
okay.
So it was their
faith. So it wasn't so much the guy, it was his friend.
It was his friend's faith.
Okay, thank you.
That's not even one of my questions. But anyway, so the question is, he told this man, laying in front of him on this mat, "Son, your sins are forgiven." If you key in to verse 7, it might help you come to the answer a little more clearly.
Seven, why does the fellow talk like that? So who's asking the question, the Pharisees or the four men?
It's the Pharisees. It says some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves. They weren't even asking a question.
Right.
They were in their mind, in their head. And they asked the question to themselves.
Okay.
Who can forgive sins but God alone?
Well, I sure don't want to be standing around him thinking so.
Anything. And we do it every day.
Right.
So to stand there and knowing that they're thinking this in their minds after Jesus declares this, what is Jesus actually declaring?
His deity.
Yes.
Who
he's saying
is.
He's God. He's saying he's God. Because look at his response in verse 8. Somebody read verses 8, 9, and 10 again for me.
Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their heart, and he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk?'" You just 8, 9, right?
Go to 11.
"But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive our to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, right, took his mat, and walked out in full view of all of them.
You can stop.
Go ahead.
Okay.
I will.
So let's not miss something, because there's something that's here that we can kind of run over, getting caught up in the fact that the man got up and walked. Remember, the teachers of the law that were sitting there, were they talking out loud?
No.
He was reading their thoughts.
He read their thoughts. Who can do that?
It has to be God.
Only somebody who has the power of God at work in them for this purpose. He read their thoughts, and then he expounded on what they were thinking. So here he is. He's saying, "Your sins are forgiven. Only God could do that." He read their thoughts. Only God could do that. When we get in the miracles, we're going to see not just the miracles, Jesus. Jesus is exemplifying who God is, and also he's exemplifying what humanity is supposed to be like, was supposed to be like, and what they were like before the rebellion, the fall in the garden. So that people, they walked with God. So they knew what God wanted. Adam knew how to name the animals. Adam knew what to do. And now Jesus is living that out. Okay, let me keep going. So he's declaring that he's God. But also, so he said, "Your sins are forgiven." And then he says, take your mat, get up and walk. This man was probably a quadriplegic, because, again, he was needed the assistance of four friends, if he would have been, you know. Anyway, so this man has a crippling condition, but he also has a sin condition. Mm-hmm. Here's the kingdom, the new way, the new society, a new life, and a king who has both the power to deal with your sins and your sickness.
What was the second part? Your sins and your what?
Sickness.
Oh, sickness. Okay. Thank you.
Well, the man was healed twice. He was healed twice.
So we would call that complete healing.
Exactly. That's a complete package. Amen.
Because we know that. What good would it be if the man just got to get up and go walk on, but never got the kingdom? He would miss the kingdom.
He don't have the same ways.
He would go back to the same ways. We see in some of the other miracles that Jesus does, where he tells people, "Go and sin no more," after he heals them.
Okay.
Because there maybe the reason they're in that condition is because of something they've done.
So now he's up ready to go to work.
Yeah. Now he's ready to go back, but not just go back to work, but go back to work with a new attitude.
Yeah, yes, I'm saying go out to work to spread the word of God.
Well, definitely he's going to go do that, because when everybody saw him walking.
Right. That's what I'm saying. He's ready to get out to work. Yeah.
So he's never seen anything like this. Go ahead.
You know what I like about this? Jesus don't put you on blast. You know what I mean? He doesn't sit up and say what he knows already. He just takes care of it and then moves on.
Right. You still doing what you used to do?
He didn't get into the man's business and say, you know you're on this match.
Exactly. That's what I'm talking. Yeah, there you go. Because
you got caught stealing and you jumped out of a window. That's why you're on this match. Nope. He didn't say that. He dealt with the sin issue. I mean, for them to have some, remember their statement, only God can forgive sin. And for this man to say to you, your sins are forgiven, I'm spending time on that because sometimes I think we forget that our sins are forgiven. Not being forgiven, they are forgiven. Okay, let's keep going. All right. We're still in Mark chapter 2. Somebody read verses 13 through 17, and we'll answer questions 12 and 13.
Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," Jesus told him, and Levi got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners."
Well, thank you very much. What is significant? Okay, let me ask you this question first. What's Levi? What other name do we know Levi as by?
Matthew.
They're the priest.
This is Matthew. All right. And so when you see Levi, what does that mean? Somebody just said something. They answered it. But what is Levi?
They're from the Levitical tribe, the priest.
Yes. From the Levitical tribe. So he's supposed to be working in the temple, in the priesthood.
Right.
But giving you all a little historical reference, the priesthood is corrupted at this point, as you probably can tell when you read about Sadducees and the Pharisees. After the second temple, they came out of the exile in the Old Testament, and they returned back, and Nehemiah and Ezra and then rebuilt the temple. They were never the same. And later on, there would be a wicked ruler who would rise up who would politicize the priesthood. In other words, he would appoint his own priest for political purposes, and they would corrupt the priesthood to the point that even they destroyed all of the copies of the Torah. So there's a guy, and for those of you who are interested, his name was Antiochus Epiphanes. So this is why we end up with a corrupted priesthood, and possibly why Matthew is not serving in the temple. Some still did, because we have the story of Elizabeth and her husband, who John the Baptist's father, who went up and did his priestly duties. But Matthew, for some reason, is not involved in that. He's isolated and separated. So I'm kind of answering the question. What was significant about his calling? When Jesus went to him, what was he doing?
I thought he left a good paying job to follow Jesus. I don't know how good it was paying, but, you know, he had the opportunity to make him some money and collect money for who, you know, when he was collecting money.
Remember, he's a Levite. Matthew's supposed to be serving in the temple, not working for the man, if you would. Matthew's supposed to be working for the Lord, and he's working for Rome. And he was very well paid. Very well paid.
Right.
Matter of fact, most tax collectors were thieves. We know the story of Zacchaeus. They overtaxed people. They made extra money off of the people. So when the Lord calls him, put it like this, you're called to be this person, but you're serving over in the wrong place. So when Jesus calls Levi, what is he doing?
Trying to correct his path, put him in his right position.
I like that.
What do we call it? Yeah,
sounds like
that
he was
word
doing his job.
Restoring.
He was moving him.
Get him to reset and go the right way.
Deacon Tate said it. He's restoring him. Y'all, you're saying it, but I wanted that word. He's restoring him back to who he's really, his true identity. Remember, he's from the tribe of Levi. He's supposed to be either serving at the temple or working, depending on his if he's in the line of Aaron or not. He's supposed to be in the priesthood.
Okay.
And he's working for Rome. He's working for the other government and not the government of God. So when Jesus calls him, he's restoring him back to his true identity. So that's what's significant about his calling. You know, we see like how he called Peter and they were fishers and then he got them. But Matthew's, there's more detail. And because in the next question, why did Jesus eat? Okay, Matthew, because he was a rich man, he had this house, and they were known for their lavish lifestyles and parties. And if you would look at the picture of how they lived, people could see. It wasn't like they would go in a house and shut the door. They would have courtyards and eat at long tables full of, and there would be prostitutes there, so you know what was happening. They weren't just hanging out there to eat. All kinds of people would come and party at Matthew's house. Matthew would have had the dignified equivalent of a trap house in that day. So, yeah. Yeah. And Jesus goes and eats there. Why did he do it?
Because they were the ones who were preaching the gospel. I mean, he was came to save the sinners.
Yes. Remember. That's
what I said. He had a chance to speak the good news to them while they were all together.
You needed good news. So the good news isn't just for the rich, the powerful, the Jews. It's for the folks that are outside, the prostitute, the gambler. It's for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not come over to me. It is I'm coming to you.
Amen.
All right. Good news?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
I'm trying to. As I said that word, evangel, when we evangelize, when we talk to people, we testify about the good news of Jesus, we kind of leave them short with just Christ died for your sins, buried, rose on the third day. If you believe that, you're going to be with God. What about right now? Right now I am that chick over there.
I'm struggling.
How is that good news for me where I am right now? And Jesus was declaring, it's good news right now. You don't have to be like this. Matthew, I'm restoring your identity. I'm restoring your humanity. I got something I'm going to read to you all later. Okay, let's get to this. Let's keep going. Still in Mark 2, verses 18 through 22.
Now John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting. Some people came and asked Jesus, how is it that John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees are fasting, but yours are not? Jesus answered, how can the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? They cannot, so long as they have him with them. But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and on that day they will fast. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. Otherwise, the new piece will pull away from the old, making the tear worse. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins. Amen.
Amen. All right, in verse 20, what did Jesus reveal to them about himself?
That at some point he's going to be leaving them. He's going to die or get killed, rather, and he won't be around them.
Yes. So at some point, he revealed his death, and that they would just think death, but we ultimately know his ascension, that he would be leaving. After he resurrects, he will leave, but his kingdom is still intact. All right? A principle is being taught in verses 21 and 22. What principle is being taught in the parable, in the teaching of the wineskins?
That the old ways that they used to have wouldn't kind of measure up. I'm not going to say measure up, but it was different from in the New Testament, so things was different. So your old ways may not work in the way that we doing things now in the time of grace, the way things was. I'm going to shut up. I'm not sure. I got an idea, right?
You're on the right path.
Go ahead, Krista.
Old and new
don't go together. One era has gone to an end, and another one's about to come in.
All right.
Thank you, Sister John. Great, help an great old man out.
This is a team effort. Family.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah. I want to thank Ms. Johnson for her assistance.
The old way, the law, not so necessarily the law, but the old structure. Remember, it's been corrupted. Humanity's been corrupted after that fall in the garden. All humanity got corrupted through one man's sin entered in. So everything's corrupted. The Levitical priesthood has been corrupted, the old way of doing things. It's passing away. And it was never intended to be the permanent way anyway. It was a way leading towards something. So what Jesus is saying, they're like, Jesus, because remember he's talking about, they asking him, why don't your people fast? We fast. Why don't your people do this? We do this. Why don't they wash their hands before they eat? We eat, wash our hands. And Jesus is like, the new kingdom, the kingdom is coming. Those old ways are not going to be able to withstand. It's going to destroy what's new. And what we tend to do as humans is try to hold on to stuff that's old, like we know we got some clothes or shoes. You ever put on an old shoe that you had in the back of the closet in a box somewhere, and no matter what good quality is of the shoe, when you go to put it on after it's been sitting and not really tended to properly, it might break or bust. You know that with clothing, moths get to it. So you go to put it on and it's holes in it because the moth got to it. Yeah. Corrupted. So it won't hold. So you can't take in, you can't put new stuff in the old stuff. So that's what he's saying. That's the principle he's teaching. New life requires new vessels. New kingdom requires new citizens. So that's why he tells John in John 3 to Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must be born of the spirit and not of the flesh. So that's the principle he's teaching. Y'all did good with that. All right. Let's get to this. Mark 2:23-3:6. So from verse 22, one from verse 23 into chapter 3, verse 6.
Somebody 22 to 3:6, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know what I'm looking? Let's see, 22 in my Bible. We don't 23. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for men, not for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.' Another time he went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, 'Stand up in front of everyone.' Then Jesus asked them, 'Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?' But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger and said, and, deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus."
All right.
Amen.
So now, here we have a teaching where Jesus does a miracle in it, but there's a conflict that's going on. The conflict is about the Sabbath. So we want to find out, what did Jesus teach about the Sabbath? And this is very kindly, because nowadays we got a lot of folks saying that, you know, we don't worship on the Sabbath. We're wrong. The commands, the Sabbath is everything. So let's see what Jesus said about the Sabbath. What did Jesus teach about the Sabbath?
That the Sabbath was created for him.
Anybody else?
That the Sabbath was created for man and not man for Sabbath. So it was given to man.
Right. So, see, what we have here is where the Pharisees, again, religion. Remember, think about it. Pharisees, Sadducees, think corruption. They're corrupted. So religion corrupts, can corrupt if it's falsified. So we have to look at the purpose of the Sabbath. So let's go back to the first beginning. Go to Genesis chapter 2, and somebody read verses 2 and 3.
"By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So, on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done." Amen.
All right. So, why did God set apart the seventh day? Why did he make it holy?
For a rest.
Say that again.
For a rest.
For rest. All right. Let's go to Exodus chapter 20, and somebody read verses 8 through 11.
"Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You are to labor 6 days and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day to the Lord your God. You must not do any work. You, your son or daughter, your male or female servant, your livestock, or the resident alien who is within your city gates." For the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and everything in them in 6 days. Then he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and declared it holy.
So now we have the law, the Exodus, the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments being given to the children of Israel who have just come out of what?
Bondage.
Slavery.
They just came out of
slavery.
Bondage, slavery. How long were they in slavery?
400 some years.
When was the last time they had a day off?
They didn't have no holiday weekends.
No king weekend, no nothing. Over 400 years they
right.
are enslaved. Not a day off. What was the purpose when God instituted the Sabbath? What was it for?
To rest.
So is it about going to church?
No.
It's about rest. And remember, the Sabbath was made for who?
Man.
And to do what?
To rest.
And also Jesus is teaching a higher principle. Rest is not only physical, it's also going to be spiritual rest. Remember, the law had to follow the rules to flourish, to follow the rules to flourish without the Spirit. So it became burdensome. So that's why the Sadducees and Pharisees are sitting around when we get back in Mark waiting to see what Jesus, if he's going to do something on the Sabbath. But what did he do? He restored a man's hand. Is that work or is that?
Because, right, it was just a statement made. He made a statement and the man was healed. He didn't do any physical work, to my knowledge.
And even if he had, well, they get after the disciples in the other part about picking grain to eat. Is that work?
Mm-hmm.
But you go into the kitchen and cook.
But I guess they're based that up on the fact that you're out in the field, and that's what they do out there is pick grain as part of a job. So I guess that's what they pass the work in at.
So can you imagine trying to figure out what's working, what's not work, what's working, what's not work? Is this work? Is this not work? And it's all about resting at the end of the day, taking a break.
I'm surprised they got up out of bed.
Kicking back. Yeah, if you can't even get out of bed, is that work? Can you imagine how crazy? That's how the Pharisees. That's how bad things had gotten. Where the slightest thing you did, we know now, if you go to some strict Hasidic, they won't even turn on a light switch. On the Sabbath, because they consider that work. And Jesus is like, that's religious practice. It's about rest. It's about restoration. It's about redemption. Ultimately, Jesus is going to, he said that the Son of Man is even Lord of the Sabbath. He commands what it's for. And he's going to be our final, he commands that we rest. In other words, that we not figure out work. We don't have to work for salvation. We don't have to work for, we don't have to do anything but just rest in what he's done. So I pointed this out because we're going to finish with this soon. When we're dealing with people like Hebrew Israelites, Seventh Day Adventists, Jehovah's Witnesses, other cult groups, they push Sabbath real hard. And even some Christians get caught up into we should be worshiping on the Sabbath. It's about rest. And we worship God by resting. So what am I telling some of y'all? Some of us work 7 days a week. Stop it.
Mm-hmm.
You're working too much. As far as going to your job. But me getting up and moving this table into the other room, that's not work. I don't have to do anything else for my salvation. It's already been done in Jesus. So I can rest in what he's done. So So he was living his life. Remember, he's living his life as one who wrote the law. He's exemplifying flourishing. So they were hungry. They picked wheat and ate it. That's flourishing. Because the alternative is they out there hungry, and then they sitting down and they can't even move. The man's hand was shriveled up. The man couldn't
Amen.
Do anything. He was
Amen.
He was excluded
he
from stuff.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
And Jesus set him free to flourish. Now he can work. Now he can go to the temple. Because of that shriveled hand, he couldn't be in the congregation at the synagogue or the temple. So now he can
Whoa. So you're telling me if he had a deformity, you couldn't be in that group?
If you had a deformity, if you were a eunuch, if you were on your monthly cycle, because we grown-ups listening to this.
Okay, now I understand that part.
There were things. So a shriveled up hand, you couldn't be with the community.
Wow.
And he brought Sabbath rest to him.
I have a question.
Yes.
Is the purpose... I thought the purpose of the rest was so you can worship. Is that wrong?
The purpose of the rest, God considers worship resting worship.
Oh.
It's not about the day, because we worship every day.
Okay.
Whatever you do in word or deed, do it all to the glory of God. We worship God. It's not about focus. Now, we do set aside Sunday, the day that we come together and do it together, or on Saturday, because we do have a Saturday service. But it's not about the day. It is about the rest. If we focus on the day, we're going to start working. We're going to start doing things to make that day. And that's what the Pharisees and Sadducees had done. They made the day more important than God's purpose for the day.
Okay.
It's a sign of freedom. Good news. It's good news that you're being set free and not having to be enslaved. I got to finish up here. Okay, so we're going to pick up next week. You'll get a new sheet coming because we only got a couple. Real quick, question 17. What did Jesus deal healing? He healed on the Sabbath. What did it provoke?
A plot for them to kill him?
Yes.
To try to kill him?
Yes. They started plotting to kill him because he's messing up the system.
Did you say 17?
Yes, question 17. Jesus healing.
I don't have it on my page.
You're missing a page. There are two pages. So, because there are 20 questions all together.
Yeah, I've got 18, 19, 20, but 17 didn't print.
Oh, okay.
And while I'm at it, Genesis 2, what verses were we to read there?
2 and 3.
2 and 3, okay. Thank you.
All right. So let us finish up here. We're finished. Again, good news, the life of Jesus. Let me not forget to read this. When we look at the life of Jesus, we see life as God intended it to be. So when you're reading through Mark, look for these markers. A restored hand so you can function again. A restored identity so you can be who you truly are. Jesus came and he brought that to people, but he also lived it out. And we're going to turn our attention starting next week to the miracles after we finish up this page. So with that, Sister Kathy, I'm turning the class over to you. Good class. Thank y'all.
Very good class. Thank you, Sister Pastor Janice, for your excellent, excellent, excellent teaching. Did you want to pray us out?
I can.
Okay.
Father, we thank you this morning for rest. We thank you because there's nothing left for us to do but believe and trust in Jesus. And so because of that, we can celebrate the good news that it is already finished. We pray as you go forward that he be glorified, he be exalted, he be magnified through song, through word, through the word you have for us. Okay, thank you and praise you in his name. Amen.
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 Thank you, Sister Janice. Have a beautiful day.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, you guys. Get your coffee, your tea, your cookies, your crumpets, some of Mother Irma's piece of cake. And after this selection, we will start our morning service. Amen.
Father, I give your name praise and glory and honor. I bless you for being my everything. I thank you right now, God, for being my provision, my leader, my guide, my comforter, my friend, my companion. And today I owe you my prayer. I owe you my worship. Hallelujah. I bless you, God, for being the greatest God in the whole world. I will sing to you in this holy place. I will tell you even in the marketplace. I will pray to you in my secret place. Yeah. For you are my everything. Yeah, I stand and give you glory and praise, for you are my everything. Hallelujah. Come on, stand and take 3 seconds to begin to worship God right now. I don't care where you're standing. I want you to lift up your holy hands and begin to offer a worship, a praise, of appreciation to the Lord for being your everything. For all mankind, I will continually praise your holy name for the rest of my life. I can stand and testify that none compares to you, for you're El Shaddai. Oh yeah, you are my everything. Father, I give you the praise and the glory and the honor, for you are my everything. Hallelujah. Father, I bless your holy name this day. And God, I will let the whole world know how great you are. What an awesome provider. What an awesome comforter. What an awesome friend. What an awesome God. I just want to testify a second. You're my life. Lord, you're my strength. You're everything to me. Even when I feel like giving up, you're my joy. So divine. Yes, you are. And Lord, you're my peace that surpasses all understanding. When I don't know where I'm going to turn to. Lord, you're my hope in the time of trouble. Coming from somehow, somewhere you make a way. You're my life, you're my strength. Lord, you're everything to me, and I gotta testify. You are my joy when I feel like crying, when I feel like giving up, when I feel like throwing in the towel. You're my peace. Well, the devil thought he was gonna take my mind. For the trial of this life, you step right in on time. You became my hope in the time of trouble. When the gas prices went high, you still made a way. You are my life. You're my strength. All understanding, you come
Yes, yes, life, strength, joy, peace, you are my everything. And this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world, to Running for Christ Ministry Saturday morning worship service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Saturday morning worship experience, brought to you by Running for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Saturday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with the proclamation, scripture, and prayer, and at Runner for Christ Ministries, we believe it's vital, and the Word of God tells us so. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. And we have this morning to help us do so is our very own Mother Irma Miller. Good morning, and thank you for being with us.
Good morning, and it's so good to be with you. It's such a blessing to thank God for this day. Amen. And we read Why We Are Here, Proclamation. We proclaim that Jesus the King preexisted as God the Son, was sent by God Father, took on human flesh in fulfillment of God's promises to David, died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, was buried, was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, appeared to many witnesses, is enthroned at the right hand of God as the ruling Christ, has sent the Holy Spirit to his people effect his rule, and will come again as the final judge to rule. Amen. Our scripture is taken from Romans 3:19-26, righteousness through faith. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held according to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law of the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Christ Jesus to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of God's glory, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Amen. Our opening prayer. Lord God, our Father, we ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will participate in this worship service, now and later. Father, we give thanks today for this opportunity to offer up to you some much-deserved praise and thanksgiving. We pray that our songs, prayers, and the preached word lift Jesus, so that all who are lost today will be found. We ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preachers with the word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask for these blessings. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day.
Amen. Amen. We thank you, Mother Irma, for that, and you just have a beautiful day.
Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord. All right.
Thanks, amen. All right, now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own shepherd, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
Real simple song. I want to teach it to you tonight. The Lord is my light salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is my life salvation. Whom shall I fear? Yeah. Whom shall I be afraid? I will wait on you. I will wait on you. You. Yeah. I will trust in you. Yes, Lord. Say. I will trust. The Lord is my light. Everybody sing.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that song of faith and testimony, Pastor. Our hearts have truly been moved and encouraged. We thank you. Which takes us to time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following this selection, the next voice you will have the pleasure of hearing is our very own Sister Deaconess Dr. June Rogers, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. Meet us at the altar and prepare to receive Dr. June Rogers' pray to the Lord. Amen.
My heart started pounding as I listened to what was said, 'cause in my head I never thought it could happen to me. But I recall what I was taught in the 34th chapter of the book of Psalms. In spite of our afflictions, he'll deliver us from them all. My trust, gonna get hard sometimes, and when those moments come, I'll rest within your arms and give you praise for what's about to come. No matter how long it takes, I'll never give up my praise. So while I wait, I'll be patiently praising you. Book of James, the proud faith shall save the sick, the Lord will raise them up once again. Yeah, that encourages me to praise him along the way.
so good to me, so good to me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Wow, can you say that and really mean it? No matter how long it takes, no matter what you're going through, could be watching a loved one perish, could be struggles that you're having on your job, problems you're having with your children, trying to pay the bills. You've prayed to God. You said you left it there. And then we get impatient, and we don't want to praise him because we can't get our way. But that's not the way that God wants us to approach him. He wants to bless us. And even though it may take a while for us to see those blessings here in our material world, doesn't mean that God doesn't love us. Because sometimes, you know in my life, I thought back on some things I've asked the Lord for, and honestly, I have to say, thank you, Lord, for unanswered prayers. It's not that he didn't answer them. He just didn't give me what I thought I wanted or even what I knew I wanted at the time. But now, say some 30 years later, I can see, oh, my goodness, if you had given me what I asked for, my life could be very different and not in a good way. So good morning. I hope that you all are enjoying the service and participating. And now I am about to lead us in prayer. And so let us pray. Good morning, our good, good Father in heaven. Every day you give us new mercies, and every day we see another reason to adore you, thank you, and love you back the way you love us, unconditionally. We give you all glory, honor, and praise. Father, we know that we do not deserve any of the love you bestow on us. From the love it took to create us, knowing we would be fallen creatures, to the love it took to send your son Jesus to save us, to the love that keeps you from destroying us because we are so evil, we thank you. But we would be remiss if we didn't say that we are sorry too. For all you do for us and for the little you ask of us, it is pathetic that we don't do better. You show us love by giving us everything we need, and we take you for granted. You show us love by protecting us, and this too we take for granted. We even tempt you by engaging in daredevil-type maneuvers as if we are invincible. Sadly, we sometimes want to take things to the edge just to see how far we can go. Even Jesus, who could do anything, didn't do that, Lord. Please forgive us. You give us wisdom so that we will not stumble over and over again, and yet we are the poster kids for the definition of stupid, which is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. Lord, we don't have to live this way. Please forgive us for anything. I mean, anything that we need, you have given us a way out of it. If we're confused about something and don't know which way to go, we do not have to behave as if an animal chasing our tails. It doesn't matter how confusing the task is, Lord. Some of your people are faced on their jobs with complex issues like troubleshooting a problem. Just yesterday, you saw my husband bringing to my attention a news story about a school in Massachusetts paying extremely high electric bills because for the past 18 months, they cannot figure out a way to turn out the lights. We don't just get frustrated with work on our jobs. We also run into personal situations where we hit a wall. Parents all over the world want their children to learn, but sometimes helping them with homework becomes a bigger chore than anything else. Yet all it takes is one simple idea to open up a world of possibilities for both parent and child. The key is unlocking how the child uniquely learns. But rather than consulting you, many parents pay tutors, and even that may not work. Father, I can't talk. You have seen me beat my head against a wall for hours, days, sometimes months, or even years trying to problem solve something in my own might. And then finally, I remember that you are always there at the ready to help me because you love me. You said that you are a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. In context, I am a witness to the fact that nothing is too hard for you. I have brought confidential work before you. Not only do I not have to worry about you sharing the details, telling the secret, you are something else. You give me answers. Father, you are no respecter of persons, so if you do it for me, I know you will do it for every single person who sincerely seeks your counsel.
Father, help us to get it once and for all that nothing is hidden from your view, that there is nothing that you do not know. And, Lord, this morning I make a plea that you will reveal the cure for cancer to the one you have appointed to spread that message. In Matthew 10:1, it is reported that you, Lord Jesus Christ, called your 12 disciples together and gave them authority to cast out evil spirits and to heal every kind of disease and illness. Oh, Lord, just like you sent the disciples to heal, you can send one or more in our modern day to heal. Your word said that the disciples were equipped to heal every kind of disease and illness. That means diseases that we are aware of now, like cancer, and those that may emerge into the future. Just like you gave scientists answers on how to do battle with COVID-19, which is ongoing, we know that you can deal with anything, and we thank you. And even the people who will listen to this in the future, let them get this, Lord, whatever they're dealing with, whatever the name of the disease is, however it found its way into the earth, you can deal with those too. Lord, this morning, we're speaking to you about confusion. We not only get confused when we are trying to problem solve, sometimes we get confused when we communicate with each other. One person says something that another person does not like. Instead of trying to reason together, we fight. We amplify confusion, argue, and get loud. There is nothing about you, Father, your Son, or the Holy Spirit that lies within us to suggest that you endorse handling confusion with more confusion. You said in 1 Corinthians 14:33 that you are not the author of confusion. You said that you hate it when we stir up strife. Instead, you give us wisdom that a kind word will turn away wrath. So help us, Father, that the next time someone calls us a name, the next time someone curses at us, the next time we feel insulted, let us logically accept your word instead of resorting to the work of the flesh. It is easy to repay evil for evil, but that is not your way. Since you are not the one bringing confusion our way, help us to recognize that is a sign that the problem is not originating with you. You have told us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So that means the people before us who are getting on our nerves are not our enemy either. This is good to recognize because usually they are loved ones. After all, it is those in our households that are the ones who really get under our skins, whose bite can hurt more than from others. So, Lord, help us to do what you said. Let us not let a day go by without reconciling with our brothers and sisters. Let us activate the wisdom of Proverbs 15:1 that says that kind word turns away wrath. I know this to be true as well. Unfortunately, sometimes I get so angry, I don't want to put forth a kind word. But help us to see that such disobedience comes with peril. Forgive us for the many times we ignore your great teaching and help us to embrace who you really are. You continued on with 1 Corinthians after stating that you are not the author of confusion, but rather you are the God of peace. Father, we are made in your image, and so we can be peaceful. It is a choice. Besides, Jesus said he gave us his peace, so we already got it. This morning, we put our confused minds on the altar. We accept that as your children, if we seek your counsel, we need never remain confused. And so we will embrace the truth of Proverbs 10:12. Since we see that hatred stirs up quarrels, instead we will embrace love, which makes up for all offenses. Thank you, Lord, for these answers. And so we release right now all of our cares, worries, needs, and wants into the only hands that are able to hold up. Father, we pray your will is done everywhere on earth. You said it's your wish that none would perish, but that all would have everlasting life. We stand on your word that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. And we acknowledge, Lord, that if we keep our mind stayed on you, you will keep us in perfect peace. Let us to not be selfish and to especially remember your charge to us to love each other as we love ourselves and your even greater charge for us to love each other as you have loved us. We commit ourselves into your hands once again, seeking your face and asking that you would heal our nation. We are fully aware that your word is true, and you've told us that as your people call by your name, coming before you humbly, pledging to turn from our wicked ways, that's how we're going to activate your promise of healing our lands. We pray for true salvation of those in leadership of our nations. You said the heart of the king is in your hands. So we pray that they will seek you and make godly decisions.
Let them acknowledge and be mindful of the stewardship that many of them pledge to undertake. Father, I cannot imagine what it must be like for you to see the messes we are making in the world and not for your children to step up as you have anointed us and empowered us to do through Jesus. We see the wars, the famine, the lies of politicians, knowing that all of this is wrong, and yet we do nothing. Even worse, we align ourselves with the evildoers under the guise that their worldview is the same as ours. We convince ourselves that wrong is right and right is wrong. Help us, Lord. I pray that you deal with our spiritual leaders so that they do not continue to lead their flocks astray. And where the flock is astray, do not let those leaders rest until they confront such nonsense. White supremacy is wrong. Black supremacy is wrong. None of this should be taught in your church. Politicians who lie about everything from their education to their heritage, even telling specific lies about their mother, should not be supported to continue the lies. Lord, such persons do not have to be and should not be condemned. Rather, we should tell them about you and hope that they will accept your grace and salvation. In addition to Psalms 119 telling us that you are light to our path, it says your commandments give us understanding, that it is a reason to hate every false way of life. So we must profess to obey your righteous regulations. We pray for healing spiritually, mentally, and physically. Please keep watch over the mothers of our church. We lift up the sick that may be among us. We give you praise of the various reports that we received in the last couple of weeks of those who were sick, who have been healed, and who are being healed. Lord, we ask that you will continue to let them feel your presence so that you know that they know that you are there. Be with them every step of the way towards their healing and recovery. And we are pleading that it will take place fast. And again, we have already gotten some testimonies of just how quickly you have worked. So we thank you. Help us to see that it is you, Lord God, that's with us, that you are leading us into all righteousness. Help us to remember, Father, you always permit those to find you when they earnestly seek you, and that you protect us. Help us to also remember that our days are numbered, and may that knowledge urge us to be about your business. For those who have recently lost loved ones, we ask that you comfort them by way of the Holy Spirit, Lord, and by acts of kindness, especially from those of us who call ourselves believers. This way, they will be able to see you through our works, and that you will get the glory. Lord, you know that we're all different, so we handle grief different. Some take longer to get to acceptance. Please help us to remember that and to show kindness and to show patience and to acknowledge that. And just remember that we're acting on your behalf. So it's not how we want to do things, telling people to suck up, but doing things the way that you want us to do them. We place it all at your feet, our world, families, relationships, everything that's on our hearts. And we're going to leave it right here at the altar. We're not going to move until you tell us to. Even if last time we threw that out the window and we were disobedient and went and picked it back up, this time, Lord, we're going to take it. We're going to leave it there. We are casting all our cares on you just like you told us to. And this way we're not going to have anxiety. We're not going to be depressed. Please hear now, Lord, all of the individual requests being offered up from across the entire world of worshipers through this broadcast. Thank you so much for this venue of Blog Talk and for listening to us. I pray, Father, that everyone listening is already saved or will be before the service is ended. Please use this offering of praise, worship, and teaching to draw men and women to you so they accept your wonderful salvation. We also pray that those who are already saved will keep pressing on so that we mature and measure up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Lord, at this point, just before we end this prayer, we want to acknowledge that there are some who are listening live, and there are some who may listen next week, and there are some who may listen well into the distant future, maybe even during tribulation times where terrible things are happening that we can't even imagine, Lord. Let them know that you are still God, and that you can help them. We pray for these souls, Lord. Give them a word for them in their time. And Heavenly Father, we know you will do this because you are a faithful God, keeping your covenant of love to 1,000 generations. of those who love you and keep your commands. So we bring these petitions as we proclaim you as King, acknowledging you to be that you are, as eternal, immortal, invisible, and the only God. We join heaven this morning, declaring, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. We say to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. And now we end this prayer in the name that every knee will bow to one day and every tongue will confess as Lord. In that great name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. Power and prayer. Just govern yourselves accordingly. Thank you, Sister Deaconess June Rogers, for praying and making our request known to God. We appreciate you.
Blessings.
All right. Thank you. Excellent service. So far, we are having a great time this morning with more to come. I want to just say thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Saturday worship service, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Saturday worship service is happening. Be the reason someone smiled today. Share the love, the joy, and the blessing. Amen. All right. Time for the preach word. A message from God, the best part, icing on the cake. Following the selection, the next voice you will have the pleasure of hearing is a man of God, Elder Joseph Stevens. Prepare to receive Elder Joseph Stevens as he come in his own way with a word from the Lord. Amen.
Oh, speak low. spoke to me. I was in Nashville, Tennessee, to sing at a conference, and I was sitting there depressed about things that have happened in my past. And Bishop Kenneth Mole stood on his feet, and he sang these words, and they came straight from the Lord to me. He said, "Your ladder will be greater. Your ladder, it will be greater. I don't care what you've been through." He says, "Your ladder."
Your ladder will be greater than your past. Our ladder will be greater than our past. Paul talked about forgetting those things in the past, but pressing forward toward the high mark, the high prize, the calling of God. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you this morning. Father God, we thank you for another opportunity to preach your word. Father God, we continue to be amazed at how you challenge us in your word and how the various different books tell of your love, tell of your mercy, tell of your grace towards us. And those books give us faith and hope in trusting your word to protect us, to lead us, to guide us into all truth. Father God, we can't thank you enough for your precious son, Jesus, dying for our sins on the cross that he didn't have to go to, but he did it because of your love for us, your plan to redeem us, your plan to call us righteous and justified in Jesus Christ. We thank you, oh Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning, Pastor O, Sister Sheila, Running for Christ Ministry and Blog Talk Radio. Oh, Lord, we thank you for bringing us to this day of 2023. We are truly blessed. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Peter 2:9, King James Translation says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Back in November and December, I preached from Galatians 5:22, which talked about the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians said, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. And I asked the question, is my fruit pleasing God? We should always plan to please God and be fruitful, to be loving, to be kind, to be faithful, and to bless our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, through our faith. We just praise you, Lord. Thank you much. But, you know, plan to preach the last three words that were part of the fruit. Faithful, gentleness, and self-control today. But 1 Peter 2:9 just kept coming to me throughout December, and up until this time in January. 1 Peter 2:9, the Message Translation says, "But you are the ones chosen by God." Not just chosen by God, but chosen for the high calling of priestly work. Chosen to be a holy people. Did you hear that? Chosen to be a holy people. God's instrument to do his work and speak out for him the night and day difference he made for you. He's changed us. He's redirected us. He is leading and guiding us through his word, by his precious Holy Spirit. But do you hear what it said? Chosen to be a holy people, God's instrument to do his work and speak out for him. And if we're God's instruments, that means if you're playing a musical instrument, you have control over that instrument. You make that instrument sound real good, or it can sound real bad if you press and play the wrong key. But we are God's instruments to make a difference in this world. 1 Peter 1, 2, the easy reading version said, Peter encouraged the people of many different towns that were Greek, that God had planned long ago to choose you and to make you holy people, which is the Spirit's work. And that's part of that verse. Have you told others about your God, how God has blessed and changed you? Have you given your God-blessed testimony? Peter wrote this powerful scripture, three Jesus inner circle disciples. Peter, the bold and outspoken one, with both good and bad words. Peter, God's Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The gates of hell cannot prevail against you or me or the God's body of believers. And we have to remember that. We have to believe that. We have to continue to confess that. Peter said one day when Jesus asked, who do men say that I am? And people's answers was all over the place. But Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Fishermen went on to fish for men, just as Jesus told him. Peter, who walked on water, Peter, who cut off Malchus' ear in the Garden of Gethsemane. Oh, but Jesus put it back on, knowing he was heading to his crucifixion. Peter, who denied Jesus three times and even cussed while doing it. Peter, who went back fishing after Jesus' crucifixion. But Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 souls were saved. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Look at God. Look at Peter's testimony. And you know, there's some Peter in each one of us. We can never judge anyone unworthy of God's grace, God's mercy, and God's salvation. Let me say that again. We can never judge anyone unworthy of God's grace, God's mercy, and God's salvation. My subject today, who we are in Christ. But you are God's chosen one, chosen for a good work, not the work we choose to do, but the work God has chosen for each one of us, chosen for the high calling of priestly work. Disciples beget disciples. priestly work. No, we're not priests. We're not pastors. We're not preachers. We're not elders. We're not ministers, every one of us. But we're all called to do priestly work. Today, the fivefold ministry preaches, teaches, and leads us to live godly lives. And what's the purpose of it? To equip the saints, God's people, for the work of service, to build up the body of Christ, chosen to be a holy people. Holy, a word that we can't reach alone. We need the word and power of the Holy Spirit to truly be holy. I want to ask a question today. Does your pastor and church encourage you to live a holy life? Not sometimes, but continually. Holy, what does it mean? Pure, morally blameless, or religiously or ceremonially consecrated. Consecrated for what? Consecrated to the work of God. Consecrated to God. God has not changed his mind. He still expects us to live holy lives in 2023, to be sanctified, set apart, sold out for God's purpose and will, to tell others of the night and day difference God has made in our lives, was reminding the church, us, that we're not just ordinary people. Brothers, sisters, we forget that we are the church. Wherever we go, whatever we do, we are God's chosen people. We are his church. Lord, have mercy. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Times, I think people get hung up on being called peculiar. Sometimes people call us strange. Sometimes people call us different. Sometimes people call us a lot of things. And you know Webster plays right into that in his definition. Webster says peculiar, characteristic of only one person, group, or thing, distinctive. But you know what some of the other words that go in with that, the synonyms and stuff are? Bizarre, crazy, curious, erratic, offbeat, strange, weird are just some of the synonyms that attach to the word peculiar. I can hear you saying, preacher, you said don't get hung up on being called peculiar. Let me tell you this. There's always a danger in looking at man's definition of words and applying them to the word of God. Strong says peculiar, per equal as, acquisition by extension, preservation, obtaining, purchase, possession, saving. So we, in other words, we have been, God has acquisitioned us. He has purchased us. He has saved us. That's what peculiar means in the world. We are purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. God's process, not ours. God purchased us. We have many a Christian sayings and acronyms that we often say, walk around and call ourselves encouraging each other with today. Have you ever heard somebody say, I'll pray about it if I feel led to? What if God's leading you to pray and you don't do it? I'm the head, not the tail. I'm the righteousness of God, I'm blessed and highly favored. I'm too blessed to be stressed. When God closes one door, he opens another door. Those are good, but scriptures even better. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Let me say that again, and wonderfully made. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yes, I can. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How does he strengthen me? He strengthens me through his word. He gives me hope. He strengthens me in my faith. An acronym, FEAR, false evidence appearing real. Faith, forsaking all, I trust him. Who is him? I trust God. Bible, for leaving earth. We need to continue in the Bible, reading the Bible, studying the Bible, meditating in the Bible, and then praying and asking God to give us his revelation of what we've read, studied, and meditated on. And then asking the Holy Spirit to open our minds and hearts as he leads and guides us in the Word, that we choose his way and not ours. Push, pray until something happens. Thank God I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the precious Holy Ghost. And we should thank God that we're that. We should thank God we're saved because of Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection. We should live a sanctified, set apart life. And we need the filling and the power of the precious Holy Ghost. But as good as all these fans are, they can never replace God's word. 1 Peter 2:9, English Standard Version says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellency of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, that we may claim the excellent praise of God. And remember how blessed we are for being called out of our darkness into God's marvelous light. Does this mean that we're called and that we'll never have any problems? No, it does not. God's power protects us through our faith. 1 Peter 1:6, easy reading version says, I know the thoughts of that is exciting, that we're saved and we're sanctified and we have salvation in Jesus. But even if you must suffer through different kinds of trouble for a short time, we have to remain to the word of God. Troubles test our faith and prove our faith is pure. Verse 7a. So prepare our minds for service with complete self-control. Verse 13a. Jesus said we would have trials and tribulations, but Jesus also said for us to walk and live in peace, for he had overcome the world. Church, we've been chosen by God. We must live this life in faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control to continue to exhibit the fruit of love, joy, and peace, to show patience, kindness, and goodness. And you know, stop singing. Stop saying when we do something wrong or when we fall that the devil made me do it. Let me say, Satan does not have that kind of power. Satan does not have that kind of power. 13, King James says, the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. Or if you look in other translations, more than you can bear. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. The problem is we often don't take the way out. But with that temptation, he will also make a way to escape. King James. But with that temptation, he will also make a way to escape. We cannot transfer or blame shift Satan or other people for our decisions to sin and do wrong. We cannot transfer or blame shift Satan or other people when we decide to sin and do wrong. There's a, it's me, there was a song out years ago, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. But we can say today, it's me, oh Lord, who needs to repent and get back in rightful place, in our rightful place with God when we do wrong. Deuteronomy 7:6 NIV says, for you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession. We know that verse is talking to Israel. And Israel had a tendency to worship and follow God. Then they had a tendency to fall back into sin and end up being punished. We have that same tendency today. Isaiah 43, 20 and 21, NIV says, the wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the desert and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people. 21, the people I formed for myself. Think about that. The people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. Everything on earth, in the sky and in the sea, praises God. In the heavens, praises God on a daily basis. God has given us a choice to praise, worship, and obey him. He has given us that choice. Let us not lose hope while walking out this faith walk. We were lost and deep in sin, but he called us out of darkness. He called us out of darkness. He has redeemed us out of our darkness into his marvelous light. Ephesians 5, 8, and 10, to 10 for NIV says, for you were once darkness, now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. 9, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. 10, and find out what pleases the Lord. Live as children of light. Share that light. Trust and obey God and reveal it to someone else. Psalms 33:12 NIV says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. That nation was Israel. Now, this broadcast goes around the world. We are the nations in need of God's saving grace today. Sin is rampant around the world. God is waiting on us to be that salt and light where we live in our nation. Have you been praying for your nation, your city, your town, your village? Have we done our part to live and tell others about the gospel of God so that they may have abundant life when they accept Jesus as their their Lord and Savior. Colossians 1, 12 to 14, NIV says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, the Lord. We have that inheritance because of Jesus' death on the cross and his obedience. We have been washed in Jesus' blood. We have been redeemed and purchased by God through Jesus. Revelations 20 and 6, and all these verses that I have talked about, cross-reference 1 Peter 2:9. Revelations 20, verse 6, blessed and holy are those who have part in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. Oh, praise the Lord. 1 Peter 2:9 and 10. Today's English version, but you are the chosen race, the king's priest, the holy nation, God's own people, chosen to proclaim the wonderful acts of God, who called you out of darkness into his own marvelous light. Verse 10, at one time you were not God's people, comma, but now you are his people. At one time, you did not know God's mercy, but now you have received his mercy. Who do we know that needs God's love, mercy, and grace? Who do we know that needs God's love, mercy, and grace? It's past time to share so they can be called God's chosen people, priestly people, God's peculiar people, but they will be God's saved people. Amen. 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 That's all.
What I need, holiness. Amen. Amen. Wow. I almost went there on that song. Pastor, me and you going to have a conversation about your musical interludes. If you play the wrong song on the right day after the right sermon, I'm going to be a whole crying, snotty mess on here enjoying these announcements. Lord have mercy. Amen. What an awesome service we've had today, starting with the Sunday school or the Saturday church class, all the way up until now, the word that we've heard, the songs that we've heard, the prayer that we heard, everything has just been so amazing. And then to hear that song and, you know, holiness is, you know, what we need. We have to give our brokenness and our all of our problems and everything that's wrong with us that God knows is already wrong with us because we're in this body. Jesus died for us. He overcame all of those things. And because he overcame, we're automatically overcomers because we belong to him. And so our goal in our everyday lives should be more like Jesus. You know, yep, it's going to be hard to do. Jesus was perfect, but he was in this body just like we are. So he understands. He knows. He knows the temptations. And they're going to come because that's life. But he also has given us a way out. And so we just really need to, every day, even on a small, tiny scale, you know, if you don't bite off more than you can chew, just try one thing at a time and just try to be better at it today than you were yesterday. You know, because all we can do is just try to be like the Lord the best way we can, continue to confess our sins, continue to confess our faults. And we know that the Lord is awesome and he's mighty and he's wonderful. And there is not anything he will not do for us when we are obedient to him and we give ourselves to him so that he can transform us into who it is that he has created us to be. Amen? Amen. So good morning, everyone. Happy Saturday. Just by way of a couple of announcements, Sunday, tomorrow, the 22nd, I believe, January 22nd already, wow, at 10 a.m., we will be having our Sunday worship service right here on Blog Talk Radio. Pastor O will be concluding his sermon series on God's plan for life and family, speaking about the Christian children. Amen. We started off with God's plan as a whole. And then we talked about single people. Then we talked about married people. And now next week, or not next week, tomorrow, we're going to be talking about the babies. And if y'all pay attention, that's how God's order goes. You know, we didn't start off with the kids first or the married people first. We started off with God's plan first, the single people who have to be individuals, and then they come together as two individuals to become married, and there's a whole another set of rules that goes to that. And then we got the babies, all right? And so we have responsibilities to our children, and Pastor's going to talk about how all that comes together, amen? So just make sure to tune in tomorrow to hear the conclusion of the sermon series of God's plan for life and family, amen? Do not forget that we now have a new class on Mondays at 6 p.m. here on Blog Talk Radio, okay? Talking about the last days and how to be prepared via the book of 2 Peter. It is taught by Deaconess Dr. June Rogers, and the book that's needed for the class is entitled 2 Peter, the number 2 Peter, by Charlie Avila, and it can be purchased on Amazon. I believe it's like $9 or $9.99, something like that. So the assignment that we were given this week is for us to read the book of 2 Peter in the Bible, okay, chapters 1 through 3. Read that. And then for those who have the actual book, read the first chapter of the book and answer the questions that are on page 175. No, chapter 1 is not 174 pages. All of the chapters are at the front of the book, and all of the questions are at the back of the book. So if you have the book, read chapter 1 in the book, and then make sure to go to page 175 and answer the questions that belong to chapter 1, and then we'll be ready to have our discussion on Monday at 6 p.m. Amen? Do not forget, every Tuesday at 4 p.m., Minister Richard Overall is here on Blog Talk Radio with his series Training Day. Do not forget, every Wednesday at 6 p.m., we have our Bible reading class. I believe Deacon Oliver Welch did Lamentations last week. okay? And that was a really short book. So I believe we're going into the book of Ezekiel, chapters 1 through 5. I'm not sure who's teaching 1 through 5, but it don't matter who's teaching. All I need to do is tune in, okay? So 6 o'clock Wednesday, Bible reading class. If you need the questions, they are available, and they will be available on our church website, rfcm.org. Just click on the Bible classes tab, or if you're on pastor's email list, they'll get emailed out to you. Either way, you will have access to the questions and be able to participate in the class. Amen? Also, do not forget, every Friday at 7 p.m., Deaconess Kathy Clyburn will be on Blog Talk Radio with her show entitled Bring Back the Family, so tune into that. Every Saturday at 11:30 a.m., excuse me, Pastor Janice Tate has her women's Bible class through her Bondage Breaker Ministries, which she is the president of. So if you would like to participate in her women's Bible class that happens on Saturdays at 11:30 a.m., please reach out to Pastor Janice Tate, and she will get you information on how to get in on the class. I believe if you go to our church website, there's a place there where you can click on to get information to contact her. I don't know if it's phone number, email, but I do believe there's a place on our church website somewhere there where you can get that information. And so you'll be able to log into the class. Amen. Also, please don't forget that all of our classes and our services here on Blog Talk Radio are recorded, archived, and free, so you can get the whole Christian life together. If you just got saved, praise God, on our Blog Talk Radio class going all the way back, classes and services going all the way back to August of 2009. If you just need a refresher, or if you, you know, are listening to a class or a Saturday or Sunday worship service and you really enjoyed it and there were things that you wanted to take notes on, or you feel like, you know, this really, really touched me up, I need to keep this on repeat. When you go to the Blog Talk Radio player, you can download it. Okay, you can download it to your phone. You can keep it, and if it's something you need to play 24/7 to keep you straight and squared away, that's what you do. You can do that, and you can do it for free. So how awesome is that? Amen? Amen. Don't forget, again, to check the church website out, rfcm.org. It is awesome. So much information. Share it with others, jobs, resources, books, classes, info, all types of stuff on there. Pastor has really put a lot of work into it. And it's constantly being upgraded and changed and modified to keep you current on what's going on with us. So definitely make sure to check it out. And like I said, share it with others. You might not need anything off of it right now, and it's perfectly fine. But just share it with others, because you never know who those other people might be helping with the information that you're providing them. Amen. Also, make sure to check on one another. We've been out of the physical church building for a couple of months now. But thank God for Blog Talk Radio. We're so grateful to them. We have not ever had to miss a beat because of Blog Talk Radio. We can just jump right on here and keep everything going. But again, make sure to check on one another, especially our mothers. Amen. Some of them you can call. Some of them you can text. Some of them you can send cards to and write letters to. Whatever you want to do, however you do what you do, just make sure that you're checking on one another to make sure everybody is straight. Amen. If you want to pay your tithes or give any offerings, please visit the church website, again, rfcm.org. Click on the tithes and offerings tab. And if you would like to give a love offering to my cardinal, amen, Elder Joseph Stevens, I love him, please visit the church website, rfcm.org, and just click on the tithes and offerings tab, and you will be able to notate Elder Joseph Stevens. Put a note in there: Elder Joseph Stevens preached a word on Saturday, and I would like to give this love offering to him. And we will see to it that he receives it. Amen. So the Lord Jesus bless you in advance for your kindness in sharing with us and with him. Amen. Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 7, speaks of a new heaven and a new earth. And I don't know about y'all, but I'm so ready. Okay. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. Amen. I am so looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, because this earth down here is being tore up from the flow up. Amen. So I know we are all looking forward to something new. Amen. Amen. So by way of prayers, just constantly make sure you're praying for everyone everywhere all of the time. Don't forget to pray for all Run for Christ Ministry members, especially those who are facing upcoming tests or surgeries, procedures. Please pray for the construction / reconstruction of our church building. Don't forget to pray for the communities that we all live in. We don't all live in the same city, but it doesn't matter where we live. We are still one. Amen. So continue to pray for all of our communities that we live in. Please pray for Nico Gaston, Deacon Raphael Rogers, all of our wonderful mothers on the move at Run for Christ Ministries. We love them, Mother Irma, Mother Cheryl, Mother Marilyn, and Mother Persia. Please continue to pray for Keila Freeman as well as Ed Johnson, who we know is home recovering. Amen. Continue to pray for our president, vice president, all of the leaders of our country, those who have the rule over us, whether it's just your mayor in your city or your police chief in your town, whatever the case may be, anybody who has to make rules that you have to follow, amen, please make sure that you pray for them. Continue to pray for all of our children and young adults. I just can't stress this enough because our kids don't even know who they are. Okay, they don't. Their social media has raised them. The internet has raised them. So they are beyond confused as to who they are, who they're supposed to be. They're not sure what they're supposed to be doing. They're all over the place. There's no boundaries. They're just bouncing around like ping pong balls. Okay, so we really need to pray for our kids. And even our young adults, our 19, 20, 21, 22-year-olds, you know, they out here and they get a little freedom and now they just go, what? We have to continue to pray for our youth. Amen. Please don't forget to pray for one another, as I said previously. And also, we definitely don't want to forget to pray for all those who are bereaved, mourning, and grieving everywhere. Death doesn't stop. That's the one thing that's for sure in life. And so we need to make sure that we're praying for those who are going through grief and, you know, suffering or dealing with the loss of friends and loved ones, to keep them lifted up in prayer. Amen? Amen. So, again, every day in some form or fashion, you know, people going through stuff, either going in something, or coming out of something. And so that's all of us, all the time, the different situations at any given point from the day we're born to the day we leave here. Something's going on. Amen? Our world has a lack of empathy and caring. We don't care about anybody. Nobody cares about anybody. Everybody is every man for themselves at this point. But as children of God, we have a responsibility to conduct ourselves the way that the Lord would conduct himself, the way that Jesus conducted himself when he was here. Okay, so if there's any confusion about that and what you're supposed to be doing, just read the word, and it'll tell you exactly what it is that you need to do. Okay, so one of the things that we know we have to do is we have to love one another. We have to love our neighbors. And so we do have to be kind and compassionate and caring and considerate. Those are a lot of emotions and a lot of things that you might have to give of yourself to people who you don't feel are worthy. But guess what? Neither were we. Jesus made us all worthy. Okay, so we have to make sure that we are treating people the way that we want to be treated, not how people are treating us, but the way that we want to be treated, okay? So we've all been created of us, okay, have been created in the image and the likeness of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And we should be projecting that same love, that same kindness, that same mercy, grace, and forgiveness that's been given to us because of what Jesus did on the cross, and we've accepted it and we believe in it and we know that it's true, to those who don't. Okay, it's not our responsibility to save everybody, but it is our responsibility to act accordingly. Amen? Amen. So, happy birthday to all the Blog Talk listeners all around the world who celebrated their birthday this past week or who are celebrating today on, of course, my favorite day of the week. If Saturday could be Groundhog's Day every day on Saturday, it would be awesome. Amen. But we know it doesn't work like that. So, happy birthday. to Mother Irma, who celebrated her birthday on the 4th. Happy birthday to Baby Holy Ghost, a.k.a. Pen Pal, a.k.a. she got 50,000 names, but she's overall a mayor. She celebrated her birthday on the 4th as well. And happy birthday to Doris Gaither, who will be closing us out this month with her birthday on the 30th. Amen. So happy, happy birthday to all of you. Amen. And so last but not least, I have a devotional, of course. And your devotional for today is entitled, The God of the Impossible. Amen. And this is by Pastor Jeff Shreve at From His Heart Ministries. I read his devotionals a lot. I love them. Amen. And that's why y'all get them. Amen. Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you. That's Jeremiah 32:17. In Exodus chapter 14, God's people were in serious trouble. They had left Egypt on the heels of a resounding victory as God's 10 plagues brought Pharaoh to his knees. But then Pharaoh had a change of heart. He came after the children of Israel with a vengeance and a bitter hatred. To make matters worse, from a human perspective, God had purposely led Moses and the people to a dead-end place called Pi-Hahiroth. Forgive me if I'm not saying it right, but that's that. Between Migdol and the Red Sea. To say they were between a rock and a hard place is an understatement. Pharaoh was behind them. The impassable Red Sea was in front of them, and there was nowhere to run. The situation was impossible. Surely their goose was cooked, or was it? We all know about the parting of the Red Sea. It was the greatest miracle in the entire Old Testament. As we read the drama unfolding in Exodus 14, we are not the least bit afraid for the people of God. We know the end of the story. We know that the Lord is going to do the impossible and part the waters. It was not the Israelites who would meet their demise at Pi-Hahiroth. Forgive me if it's wrong. It was Pharaoh and his soldiers. Pharaoh had the audacity to challenge God, and God turned him and his mighty army into fish food. The impossible encountered God that day, and it was forced to bow its knee in subjection to his power. Did you know that God likes impossible situations? He specializes in working miracles when all hope seems lost. He strategically works to lead us into dead ends so that he can display his power and his glory. Remember John chapter 11. Jesus did not rush to Lazarus' side to heal him of his sickness. Rather, he purposely waited until Lazarus was dead and buried before showing up and doing what we never thought possible, raising four-day-old dead Lazarus from the grave. Now, we know it's impossible, okay? To be sure, none of us like seemingly hopeless and impossible situations. When we face these trying times, we tend to do what the Israelites did, freak out as we let fear and doubt run amok in our heart. But we need to remember that the greater the problem, the greater the miracle. We don't have to think the worst. We can look to the Lord and expect him to answer us. Impossible, I-M-P-O-S-S-I-B-L-E, is truly I'm possible, I-apostrophe-M, next word, possible. Impossible is truly I'm possible with God. So what are your impossible situations? We all have dead-end situations in life. Sometimes it's in our finances. Sometimes it's in our marriage and family. Sometimes it's in our vocation. Sometimes it's in our church. Sometimes it is in our physical disabilities and limitations. Whatever your impossible situations might be today, be sure to bring it to God and factor him into the equation. He is the God who can do anything. If he parted the sea and raised Lazarus from the dead, he can do something wonderful and miraculous in your problems too. So trust him no matter what. It is better to die in faith than to live in doubt. So if you're not really sure how to pray about things like that, I have like a starter prayer for you. And so it says, Father in heaven, I thank you for blank. Okay, so you fill in that blank. Lord, you know from a human perspective that this situation is impossible, which is why you have to fill in that own blank. Okay, you got to fill that blank in because all of us have different situations. Okay, you know from a human perspective that this situation is impossible. I cannot fix it, and I don't know what to do moving forward. I have been fearing, fretting, and fuming over this situation for too long. Today, I make the choice to lift this up to you and leave it with you. I trust you to work this together for my good and for your glory. And we know that's Romans 8:28. And I am so grateful that you are the God of the impossible. There is nothing too difficult for you. And I believe that truth with all of my heart. So if you're worried, you're wondering, you're fretting, you're confused, you don't know what to do, say that prayer to God. Insert your prayers and your stress and whatever it is in that prayer and trust and believe the Lord will move mountains. Amen? Amen. And those are your announcements.
Okay. Yeah. Amen. Get this thing off. Thank you, Crystal.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Amen. We've had an awesome day. I'm telling you, you know,
super
who
good.
We are in Christ Jesus. Now we know how to pray and get things through to God, and we are good to go.
Amen. Amen.
And you know I was over here not paying attention, right? I was paying attention.
That's always. You was listening
when
you were doing other stuff.
Baby Holy Ghost gone, so Senior Holy Ghost over here talking away.
Trying to figure it out. Oh, Lord.
I'm like you, though. I wish Baby Holy Ghost was here to tell me what to do next, but
yes.
Baby Holy Ghost
Lord
had to take care of some business, so Senior
Amen.
Holy
that
Ghost
she
is
will
gone.
Do. Oh, God. We're going to pray.
All right, Crystal. Have a blessed day.
Amen.
Tell Amira, I
you
say,
too.
What's up.
Absolutely. I sure will.
All righty. Okay, everybody. You've heard the announcements. This is what I used to say when we was presiding at Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church. You've heard the announcements, and we trust that you'd govern yourselves accordingly. Praise God. Amen. We thank God for everybody who's been on, Assistant Pastor Janice Tate, doing a church school. Awesome job, but you know that, right? And then we had Deaconess Kathy Clyburn come with her list of folks, Mother Irma Miller, and Deaconess June Rogers led us through scripture, prayer, and altar call. And then the awesome preacher, Elder Joseph Stevens, gave us a word to get going on this new year. Amen. Who are we in Christ Jesus? Do we know who we really are? Amen. If we start living that, if we start being that, then Jesus will be lifted up. And guess what happens when we do that? All men will be drawn unto him. And as Pastor Janice Tate taught us a long time ago, if we start doing our job telling people about Jesus, then maybe we can go ahead on home. Yeah, think about that. Amen. God bless. Hey, a little praise report. Amen. Amen. Well, anyway, before the praise report, if you get a chance, run by my Facebook page, and you'll see Nakia and her mom on there. They got picked up in a special talking about caregivers. Okay, so it's posted right there on my Facebook page, Nakia and her mom. Amen. We get a chance to see them since we don't see them a lot. That's one way of seeing them and hearing them. And guess what? They're still the same. Praise God. Amen. But go ahead and check them out. And then my newest book is finished. It should be out sometime in February. In fact, while this is going on, I'm in conversations now with the formatters. Okay? They're some awesome people, but we're nailing down everything that we want done. Want to give a big old giant thanks to Ed Johnson for allowing his wife, Rebecca Johnson, to serve as copy editor on this book. And trust me, we went back and forth to get everything just right, okay? And what was just wrong was the way I say things. But anyway, we got that all finally straightened out. And then now the book is off to the formatters, being formatted. It should be out by February. It's in regards to a question that came up that the Lord wanted me to address, so we addressed it in a book. It's called Biblical Giving, New Testament Tithes and Offering with a question mark. And so the book answers the question, okay? Should we as New Testament Christians give tithes and offering in the dispensation of grace under the new covenant? That's the question. And the book answers that question. We're going to start at Genesis and go all the way to Revelation, okay, to pull out an answer to that question from the Word of God. So I thank God for it. And I was actually happy writing this one because rather than having to use a million different books and read or study a different million things, I only had to look at the Bible to find the answer. And that made it real. That made it fun. Didn't make it easy. Like, faith does not make things easy. It makes them possible. So it wasn't easy, but it was possible, and it was fun. It was fun because, you know, I had to just go there. Okay? Don't forget your Monday homework. I know Crystal told you about it, but remember your homework. Do the work, people, brothers and sisters in Christ. Do the work. Amen. Jesus is watching. Remember what Pastor Tate just taught us in Sunday school. He knew their thoughts. He knew their thoughts. Does Jesus know you're going to do your homework for Monday? Or does he already know he's just going to let it go past and not even do it? Amen. Now, he won't hate you or nothing like that, okay? But he will keep urging you to become, to do better. It's 2023. Do better than you did last year. Don't. When you do stuff like that, I didn't even want to say this, Jesus, but when you do stuff like that, what you're saying to Jesus is, I really don't want to know you better. I really don't want to learn how to live for you. I just want to be saved and have you fix all my problems and bless me with stuff and let me go places and do things and make me happy. Okay? But he has already done that. He's promised us heaven. Read Revelation 21 and 22. Okay, but right now he needs us to work. He needs us to get busy for him. Amen? Amen. So put the work in like his disciples did. They stayed and they went through every Sunday school, every church school, every lesson Jesus taught, they was there. Every time they was having a service where Jesus preached, they was there. Okay? So we want to be, if they as human beings could do it, and they devoted themselves to him for those 3 years he was here, we can do the same thing and become mature Christians. Tony Evans say, we do it in 5 years. Jesus did it in three with his disciples. Three, five, whatever the case, become mature. You heard Elder Stevens talk about the fivefold ministry. Go read about it. It's over there in Ephesians chapter 4, start at verse 11. You'll see what he's talking about. Amen. Amen. All minds are clear. God bless you. God keep you. We love you. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. And the whole church said, amen. And it would have been really nice if I had found a song to end with. Amen. But I didn't. So Jesus is like, boy, you do too much. See y'all later.